Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. We'll read verses 21 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Let's finish on verse 23 together. Ready? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, please, we've had time to sing, had the time of announcements and time for all the different activities of the church, but the focus right now is on the preaching of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, would you calm our hearts? Would you calm our minds? Help us as we focus on the preaching. Lord, our man of God has walked with you each and every moment this week for this time. Please do that which only you could do, and that is work in the hearts of these hundreds and hundreds of people. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to ask that we all settle ourselves. I cannot tell you the great importance of today's sermon. To those of you that are new to our church services, this is the most important time. We all settle down. There's no talking. We all give our attention right this way. We concentrate on what's happening. Everybody keeps their eyes right on me. Don't let anything disturb you. If you have an emergency and you need for some reason to step out, that's okay. But other than that, though this may be hard for you to believe, somebody's life is hanging in the balances today. Somebody's life depends on what's about to happen. I'm going to again read to you the scripture that has already been shared. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In our text, we read some very powerful words. In these verses, we see a very sobering situation. Jesus here is speaking. Someone who expected to enter into heaven is told by Jesus, I never knew you, depart from me. The Bible actually says that this is going to happen to many people. It says, many will say unto me in that day. Can you imagine that? Someone thinks they're about to enter into heaven. Jesus is standing there and he said, I'm sorry. You can't come in. I never knew you. See, this person to whom we refer, they were religious, but they were not saved. The truth about this one's salvation, it had never occurred. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You have to trust Jesus Christ to go to heaven. All the religious stuff in the world is not adequate to get somebody to heaven. Getting into heaven is dependent on you getting what they call born again or saved. Now, the truth about one's salvation is very openly revealed at the day of their death. But here's the problem. The day they die, it's then too late to get saved. You have to get saved before you die. But I'll promise you, every human being on the day they die, we find out, have they trusted Christ or have they not? The truth about one's salvation is made known when they face God in the judgment, when they face the day of death. It uses, in verse 22 here, it uses the words, in that day. What is that day? That day is the day of our death. That day is the day of God's judgment. That day may be the day of the rapture or the time of the resurrection. But, you know, there's coming a day when you're going to face Jesus, and He's either going to say, yes, you're saved, you trusted me, come on in, or He's going to say, I never knew you, depart from me. What a shock. What a shock to hear those words from Jesus Himself. I never knew you. That word never meant not ever at any time. If you look that word up and you let it be defined, it means not ever at any time have I known you. Hey, I'll tell you a story. I travel and I preach across the nation and abroad some many years ago, and I tried and tried and tried to think about which particular speaking engagement and to which church I was going when this happened, but I could not remember it. I remember I have a routine. I go down to the airport on this particular day. I had driven myself to the airport. I was going to go. I was flying to go to a special a preaching engagement. I got down to the airport. When I arrived there, I had my luggage with me. I had my briefcase with me. I had in my briefcase my Bible. I had a sermon in my Bible. When I arrived there, they have a little machine where I can slide my credit card in and out of it, and my flight arrangements pop up on a screen. They give me my tickets, and I go to my destination. Well, I went into the airport down at Dulles. I slid my credit card in and out, and it popped up on the screen. No reservations. No reservations. I put my credit card in again. It popped up on the screen. No reservations. Well, I went right to the lady behind the desk. I said, ma'am, something's wrong with your machine. It doesn't have my name recorded. I'm going to so and so. She said, and what's your name? And I gave her my driver's license. And she looked back at me and she said, I'm sorry. You have no reservations. You can't get on the plane. Now listen, that day, I looked like a traveler. I had my briefcase with me. I had my suitcase with me. And I wanted to travel. I wanted to get to my final destination. The only problem is, my name had not been recorded, and I did not have the proper reservation, and they said, you can't get on the plane. And folks, I have to explain something to you. There is coming a day when you will face the Lord Jesus Christ with a desire to enter into heaven. What God's going to do, He's going to open up a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And He's going to search through it. And if He does not find your name recorded with your reservations paid for by Jesus Christ to get you into heaven, He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, you can't get on the plane and you can't enter in. Hey, your final destination is a desire to go to heaven. But you can't get there unless you have your reservations, and your reservations come through Jesus Christ. Say, what'd you do? I had to turn around and go home. But here's the thing. I thought I had reservations. I believe there's some people in here, you sincerely think you have some reservations. I think I can help clear that up for you. So one day, when you're standing at the gate of glory asking God to let you in, you'll know you can get in. Because He said not everybody that says I'm coming in does He let in. He makes that very, very clear. Now, before we look more deeply into Matthew chapter 7 and these shocking words, I never knew you, let me show you how you can be sure that you're not going to hear those words. I don't want you to hear those words. So I'm going to start out pretty simple here, but maybe the most important part of the entire sermon is this very first point, and that's this. I want to just tell you how you can be born again. I just want to tell you how you can be saved. The first thing you have to realize is you must be born again. You must be born again. You've been born once, but you've got to be born again spiritually to get to heaven. John chapter 3, verse number 3, it says, "Verily I say unto thee, you must be born again." If you don't get born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, there are four very simple steps about getting saved or being born again. Let me tell you what they are. First thing you have to understand is everybody is a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. Here, the Bible says in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." What that means is nobody's right all the time. That makes us a sinner. The Bible also says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So, step number one in getting saved or getting born again, you have to realize everyone's a sinner. That means you. Step number two, getting to heaven. There is a penalty for your sin. You must understand you're a sinner and there is a penalty for your sin. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Here God tells us, because of our sin, we're going to face the penalty of death and hell. We're all sinners. There is a penalty for our sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, it's not just talking about you and I dying our natural death, if you will. It's talking about death in hell. It's talking about the second death. So point number one, everyone's a sinner. Point number two, there is a penalty for sin. Point number three, Jesus paid that penalty for you. He paid that penalty for you. Earlier, we read the scripture, Romans 6:23, where it says, "For the wages of sin is death." But the Bible doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There it is. Jesus paid your penalty for you. It also says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for sin, death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. But thirdly, Jesus Christ didn't want you to go to hell, so He died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you, and He purchased the free gift of heaven for you. He did it for you. But then finally, the next thing you do is if you say, "Okay, I know I'm a sinner. Okay, I realize there's a penalty. I don't want to go to hell. Okay, I realize Jesus paid the price for me, and He's got a gift for me called salvation." The Bible says the next thing you do is you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart, and to be your personal Savior. And if you'll do that, He'll save you, and that assures you that your reservation for heaven is made. The Bible says this. Listen to these verses. It says in Romans 10, verse 9 through 13, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everybody's a sinner. There is a penalty for sin. Jesus paid that penalty for you. If you'll turn to Him and say, "Forgive me of my sin. I want to accept that free gift of salvation. I want to ask You to be my Savior, to take me to heaven when I die." God said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a free gift. It's a free gift. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Free gift, God made it available. Now it cost Jesus everything, but it's free to you. You don't work to get saved. You don't work for God for salvation. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." That's what the Bible says. Hey, you could leave here today for certain that if you died today, you would go to heaven. You can leave here with that assurance. Hey, you don't have to be like me. You don't have to go to the airport and have somebody tell you, "Sorry, can't get in."
You don't have to be like the person in Matthew chapter 7 that they said, I want to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, that's the plan of salvation. That's it, right there. That's how you get saved. Now let me go to point number two of my sermon. Point number two. You cannot lose this salvation once you get it. You can't lose it once you get it. God doesn't take it away from you. Listen to some verses and stay right with me now. As salvation, He gives us eternal life. The Bible says in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Bible says here, once you get saved, you're going to never perish. You say, how long? Never. Never means never. At salvation, we're saved, the Bible says, unto the uttermost. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. The uttermost, forever. At salvation, we receive what is called eternal redemption. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, redemption means to buy back by paying the full price. Jesus paid the full price for your salvation. He bought you back. He paid the price in full to save us. We merely accept the gift, and it's been paid for by another. And so you understand, no further payments are necessary on salvation. Once you get saved, you're always saved. At salvation, God promised to keep us safe. Listen to this verse. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You see, we don't do the keeping of our salvation. He does the keeping of our salvation. At salvation, He promised to never cast us out. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once you get saved and you're in Christ, you're there to stay. The Bible tells us that we can know that we're saved. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to wait and see when you face God. You can know you're going to get in. At salvation, the Bible says that we are preserved forever. Psalm 37:28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not His saints, they are preserved forever. Just like Mrs. Owens, I recently had some peaches that were put into an old ball jar, and they were preserved there. They were preserved, and the contents were sealed up and preserved. And God said, I am going to preserve your salvation. At salvation, we are placed into His hand, and nobody can take us out of His hand. The Bible says in John 10:27 and verse 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You can't pluck yourself out of God's hand. I can't pluck you out of God's hand. The Bible very, very clearly teaches we have a thing called eternal security in our salvation. You don't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You have a thing that's called security of the believer. Now, so first of all, first thing you have to know, you got to be born again. You say, how do I do that? You realize everybody's a sinner. You realize there's a penalty for your sin. You realize that Jesus paid that penalty with His death, burial, and resurrection. Then you turn to Him and you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I want You to come into my heart. I'm accepting the free gift of salvation. And God will save you. And once He saves you forever. It's a done deal. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You say, will that change everything about me? No, that'll change your final destination. You will be getting on the plane. You will be arriving in glory. Nobody at the gate's going to say, you can't come in. It'll get you where you're going. But now, of course, your life, God will help you to change your life. But you have to first get saved. But wait a minute. That's not the sermon today. But I felt like that was the right foundation for the sermon today. Now let's look at these circumstances that lead Jesus to say those shocking words. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Listen to these verses again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He goes on and says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? He said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hey, remember now, this is being said to a lost person. This is being said to somebody that's unsaved. This is being said to somebody that's not born again. This is being said to somebody that never did ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them. Get this, though. If you really listen to that scripture, it says the lost person had openly claimed him as Lord, but had never been saved. They said, Lord, Lord. They told others, he's my Lord. The words Lord, Lord are mentioned twice in verse 21 and verse number 22. But wait a minute. You're going around and saying, Lord, Lord. You're going around and saying, Jesus is my Lord. You're testifying that he is your Lord will not get you to heaven. You must trust him as personal Savior. This person said to Jesus, Lord, Lord. He said, I don't even know you. You go around telling everybody, I'm your Lord, and you have never even really been saved. That's what happened here. That's what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Not only that, this lost person probably had a position in the church. They probably did. You say, why do you think that? The Bible says they prophesied in his name. What's that mean? What's that prophesy? It means they were teaching people about Jesus. They taught in his name. They preach in his name. They testified in his name. They probably had a position where they stood up in front of people and actually talked about Jesus. I believe this person probably had some assigned religious duties in life. And they said, well, I prophesied in your name. I mean, I was involved. I preached about you. He said, I don't even know you. You go around telling everybody, I'm your Lord, and you got that religious talk about you, but I don't even know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. See, this is a religious person that never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That makes sense to you? Because that's what happened. I told you earlier how you get saved. If you don't do it, you don't get into heaven. You say, but what if I go around talking about the Lord? That won't get you to heaven. You say, but wonder if I speak up for Jesus and teach people about Jesus. I'm glad you do, but that won't get you into heaven. But wait a minute. This lost person, the one in our story, they had success in church work. They had success. You say, why do you say that, Brother Owens? Because the Bible says they were going around talking about how they'd cast out devils. They seemed to be productive. Now, I'll be real honest. I never cast out any devil. I don't want to see any devils that need cast out. Now, I face a difficult situation, but whoever this person is, remember, they're lost. They're not even saved. They're not even going to get into heaven. The Bible says, but they were talking about how they cast out devils. They had cast out the devil, but they had not had the devil cast out of them. Others had seen them productive in the Lord's work. They were doing something for God. Look, folks, I don't care if you cast out devils. I don't care if you walked on the water. I don't care if you prayed down rain. I don't care if you prayed and stopped the sun in his place. If you don't get born again, you're going to go to hell. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says these people were doing all sorts of religious works, and everybody's going, wow, look at that. And they walked up to Jesus at death time. line and said, let me in. He said, I don't care what you think you did down there. You never trusted my son as Savior. Depart from me. I never knew you. We live in a religious world. We live in a world where everybody's going around saying, Lord, Lord, and look at all this stuff we're doing, and look at all these works I'm doing. Hey, that won't get you to heaven according to this passage of Scripture. Not only that, this person, the one in question, this person had seemingly been serving God and being religious for a long time. See, what makes you say that? It says, this person telling Jesus, I've done many wonderful works. Now, let me tell you something about the word many. Usually, many things accomplished takes much time. I mean, if you're going to get many things done, it's going to take you much time to get it done. Probably, this person is a long-time religious person. They're a long... Hey, they've got some seniority in being religious. I mean, that's probably why they were deceived. They've been at it so long, doing all these nice things and wonderful things and saying, Lord, Lord, and being so, so productive. Having never trusted Christ, they had been doing it a long time. But remember, what did He say to them? I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how long you've done those good deeds. I don't care how long you've said, Lord, Lord. I don't care how long you've watched religious broadcasting. I don't care how long you listen to that guy on that radio. You can't come into heaven. And they said, why not? You'll find out in a minute. They actually talk back to God. They talk back to God. And He said, I never knew you. You weren't saved.
Right.
Not only that, this lost person did everything in the name of Jesus. Not only do they go around saying, Lord, Lord, they say, in Thy name we did these things. It says, they use that phrase, Thy name, three different times. You know what that means? These people, or this person, and remember the Bible says there will be many that will face this. There will be many people that will get to heaven and hear Him say, depart from me, I never, ever knew you. Many are going to face it. They said, well, we did it in Thy name. In other words, they probably stood in front of a group of people and sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They said, in Thy name. Our teenagers sing a song, Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got Him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. They might have had Jesus on their mind. You can think about Him all you want. You say, I've been thinking about Jesus a lot. Thinking about Jesus won't get you to heaven. They said, we do what we do in Thy name. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. You can talk about Him and talk about Him and talk about Him and talk about Him and use His name. But if you don't trust Him, you'll die and you'll go to hell. You must trust Him as Savior. They said, we use Your name. I want you to look at me and pay attention. Pay close attention. Hey, the lost person was fooled. This person was fooled. They were fooled by the devil at first, and they continued to fool themselves. There are people in here. I believe this. I'm your friend. I'm just trying to tell you the truth today. I believe your life is hanging in the balances. You're probably a pretty good person. You've probably done some wonderful things. And if anybody would describe you to me, they would say they're a really, really good person. Being a really, really good person does not assure you a place in heaven. And I'm trying to be your friend, and I'm trying to warn you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to wake you up. They expected to enter His kingdom. Do you understand this? They fully expected to enter heaven. They convinced themselves, I'm okay. The devil convinced them, I'm okay. They were going around saying, Lord, Lord. They were going around teaching and talking about Jesus. They were doing works all the way to the extreme of casting out devils. They had seemingly been at it a long time. They sang about Jesus, and they were fooled all the way into hell. I believe this. It says here, this person prophesied publicly, but never prayed for personal salvation privately. They've been out in the public eye. People think they're saved. People think they're born again. People think they trusted Christ as Savior. What people think won't save you. You can publicly prophesy in His name, but if you have not privately accepted Him as Savior, you'll go straight to hell someday. And the bad part is, America is so religious today, nobody wants to tell the truth, and nobody wants to, hey, look, there's one way to heaven, and that's through trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Everybody says, well, if they're sincere, I'm going to tell you something. If you're sincere, but you don't trust Christ, you'll go straight to hell sincerely. They dared to say to Jesus Himself. You understand? In this conversation, they're talking to the Savior. They're talking to the one whose blood had to be applied. They're talking to the one who had died, to the one who had been buried, to the one who had been resurrected, to the one that provides eternal life. They were talking to Him. They were facing Jesus Himself, and they were so fooled. They said, wait a minute. You just told me to leave and I can't get in. Wait a minute. Haven't I been doing all this stuff? He said, I never knew you.
Good.
Are you that arrogant?
Good.
Are you arrogant enough that you say, well, I give my money, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. You are going to convince me. I'm not going to heaven. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm letting God convince you. But if you don't trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you will die and go to hell. And you may stand at that gate and you may want to argue with Him. But He'll tell you, I never knew you. They dared to say to Jesus Himself, Lord, Lord. They tried to convince Jesus. They argued with the Savior. They said, have we not? Then they started giving all the reasons why they thought they ought to get into heaven.
Right.
Folks, so you know, you can't plan your own program to get into heaven. He said, I never knew you, depart from me. And they said, wait right here. Now, have I not done this and done this and done this and done this and done this? And He said, I never knew you. Now, you're not going to talk back to me. But the problem is, right there, when they said, have we not? There they are again rejecting God's Word. Because they must have rejected salvation somewhere along the way once before. Am I shocked that now they're talking back to God and His Word said, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you, and they're willing to talk back again. Hey, they performed marvelous works, but they never personally accepted the marvelous Savior.
Right.
Notice He said, I never knew you. Not, get this, not I knew you and lost you. He didn't say, I understand why you're confused. Because you were saved, but you lost it. And that's probably what confused you. No, He cleared up the doctrine of eternal security right here. He said, I never knew you. Never, ever knew you. You weren't saved. Jesus says, He says to him, depart from me. What does that mean? They're going to go to hell. What does that mean? The worst part about hell is not the fire, it's a separation from God. Never to enter heaven. And somebody told you, well, they probably went to purgatory. You show me that word in that book right there. There's no such thing as purgatory. It's another one of the devil's lies. You're either in or out. You're up, you're down. Hey, you're either saved or you're lost. There's no halfway in between. If somebody told you there's a halfway in between, they lied to you. They lied to you. That is not in the Bible. You see, He said, depart from me. Depart from me. Hey, listen to this. It's too bad, but no sermon had ever jolted these good religious people. No sermon ever jolted them. Hey, listen. They had never been, there'd never been a sermon that was pointed enough to get their true attention about their spiritual condition. Don't you think? I mean, think about it for a little while, folks. I mean, if they're casting out devils and they're prophesying in His name and everything's about Jesus and they're involved in the church, don't you think that somewhere along the line somebody was preaching to them? Don't you think somebody was giving them the gospel? Don't you think somebody was telling them the truth? But they sat there and they would not listen. I'll tell you, I really believe this. If you're not truly born again, and you sat through a sermon like the one I'm preaching you this morning, and you won't go ahead and get saved. You say, well, everybody thinks I'm already saved, and everybody thinks I'm already born again, and I'm not about to embarrass myself and admit the fact that I'm not really saved. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you, if you can sit through a sermon like this one and not do anything about it, you probably will be deceived, and you might as well go ahead and kiss it goodbye, baby, because you'll never be under conviction like that again. You push it away and you just go ahead and say no to the truth when God's reaching deep down in your heart and your soul and making you look at yourself and making you examine yourself for what the Scripture really says you are. I don't get it. I don't get it. Not even God's prompting must have affected them. God surely tried to wake this religious person up. This person, I believe, probably had more spiritual opportunity than most.
Yes,
I mean, it's true. I mean, when they give us all their spiritual credentials, they got it all.
Yes,
they got it all. They got it all, but Jesus, and Jesus is the primary. If you don't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. You say, that's bad English. No, but it's good preaching. They tithed and went to hell. They prayed, but went to hell. They had church attendance, but went to hell. They sang in the choir, but went to hell. They attended Sunday school, but went to hell. They served in the nursery, but went to hell. They worked on a church bus, but went to hell. They were involved in church ministries, but went to hell. They raised food for the poor, but they went to hell. They went to hell. They seemingly did everything a Christian should except for get saved, which is the most important thing that makes all the other things count. You can go ahead and you can give every penny you have to the poor, but if you die and go to hell, you're going to stop and realize someday you should have got saved then gave to the poor. Jesus basically says, now I know about you, but I don't personally know you because you've never asked me to be your Savior. See, this person I'm sure was a church member. They were a church member. I mean, let's face it. They've got all the other bases covered. Don't you think that they are a member of the church? Absolutely. I believe that this person had been baptized. I really do believe that. I think they've been baptized. I believe this person probably, when it was time to get baptized, called their family, invited them to come to the church. They had some family that, you know, maybe it was hard to get their family into church, but they thought, you know, this special thing, I'm going to get baptized. Maybe they'll come to church and watch me get baptized. And their family probably came down and sat toward the front, had cameras and everything. When they came down and they got baptized, the family all said, "Wow, oh boy, that's our family member." They probably had a shindig about baptism. I'm going to explain something to you. Getting baptized never got anybody to heaven. The Bible does not say you got to get baptized to get to heaven. It says you get saved to get to heaven. But I'm sure this person had church membership covered. I'm sure they had baptism covered. I'm sure they did that. I'm sure that they did. Not only that, I believe this. I believe this person probably worked, you take for instance, probably this person, when they went down to their secular job, I'm going to guess everybody thought they were a Christian. I doubt that this was one that cussed a blue streak at work. They're probably pretty decent. Hey, I believe they probably watched religious TV. Matter of fact, I'm almost certain they did. That's what got them confused. They probably watched religious television all night long. They probably listened to religious radio. And I know there are good programs on the radio, and I know there are good things on television, but for the most part, it's not good. I believe the clerk at the local Christian bookstore knew them by name. They were the ones who were called upon to say grace over the meals at the family get-togethers. You ever been in that situation? Nobody really wants to pray, but somebody needs to pray because old Jeff's here. So Jeff, because you're a reverend, you need to pray for the food and ask God to bless it. I've never done this, but they do call on me to pray at the family get-togethers. One of these days, I want to go ahead and mount the television, pop open my Bible and say, before we pray today, let me tell you about the one to whom we're praying. This person, though, I'll guarantee you, when they had the family reunion, with the Budweiser in the background, called on this person to do the praying over the meal. They had that base covered. I'm just sure of it. I believe that this person, this one here, the one we're talking about, I believe they always gave the religious greeting cards from Hallmark. Did you know religious greeting cards from Hallmark won't get you to heaven? I believe this person made a big deal out of the holidays. I think at Easter, they gave everybody an Easter basket. I think at Thanksgiving, they gave everybody pumpkin pie. I think they pumped up Christmas pretty big. I really believe that. I think they did many a good deed. I think they had a Bible with them somewhere in clear view just about all the time. I think they read religious books. I think they could talk religious talk. That's what I think. I mean, look, they go, Lord, don't I get in? He said, I never knew you. They said, but wait a minute, I insist. Let me tell you everything I've done. He said, you did a lot of stuff, but you didn't do the main thing. I'm almost finished, so stay with me. I want you to stay seated and pay attention this way. I just flew back from a conference up in London, Ontario, Canada. I preached Friday night, Saturday morning. I'd gone into the church to preach again so I could head back to our church here for today. I was sitting in my seat, and a girl 15 years of age walked up to me, and she said, Brother Owens, she said, I'm not saved. I thought, I wonder what brought that on. Just walked up and he said, I'm not saved. I said, well, how long have you been in the church? She said, forever. She said, I was born, my parents brought me into the church immediately. I said, well, why haven't you ever been saved? She said, just never did it. I said, you need to do it. She said, yeah, you're right. I said, let's do it. She said, let's do it. She got saved. There's some of you. You're pretty decent. You've been around the things of God. You've been around religious things. But I'm going to tell you something. You just never did the most important thing. And I believe that's exactly what's taking place here in Matthew 7. Somebody wants to get into heaven. And the Lord said, I can't let you in. I never knew you. And if you really got right down to it and asked them, why didn't you do it? They would say, I don't know. I just never did the most important thing. The most important thing is trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's free. It's a gift. It's easy. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, today's your day. Today's your day. You ought to get born again. Or someday. Your assumption that something else possibly could get you in. You get to heaven's gate. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You can argue with him all you want. I'll promise you one thing. At that moment, he'll say, remember that day at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia? Remember the day that that man preached to you and was straightforward and loved you and cared about you and told you the truth and you walked away and you rejected it? Do you remember that day? You're probably going to do the same thing they did. But Lord! And I'll promise you, Jesus did not change his mind about these people. They had to go to hell. And it was their own doing, not his. Ye must be born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, the most important thing happening in this church right now is this invitation. Won't you move unless you have to move or you have some duty that is a part of this altar call. But I'm begging you, don't be worried about anything but what's happening right here, right now. Who here today good people, decent people, maybe some confused people. Who here today would say, preacher, if I die today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm a decent person. I've done a lot of good things, and I've always kind of depended on that. But today I see I could be making a terrible, terrible mistake. Now, be seated and pay close attention. You say, I believe that I'm confused and I almost deceive myself and the devil's pulled the wool over my eyes. I see what the Bible teaches. I'm not saved and I need to be saved and I want to be saved, preacher. I want that. I really want that. I see what the Bible says about salvation. I see it's as easy as a free gift and I need to accept it. And I want it. Pray for me, preacher. I want it. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Good, I see that hand. Raise your hand right now. Say, that's me. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. Who else? You say, that's me. I want it. It's free. I see that hand and I see that hand. Who else? You say, that's me. In the balcony, on the lower level, you say, it's me. I need that. I'm not a bad person. I want to go to heaven someday, but I've got to put Jesus first. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. Who else will join these? There's been 12, 15 hands raised already. Hey, that tug at your heart that says, that's you, you know it. God bless you in the balcony, sir, I see you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, young lady. God bless you, young man. God bless you. That's good. It's me. That's what I need. I'm not a bad person, really. I know I'm a sinner, but really, I'm sincerely, I thought I was okay, but I can see I've got to trust Jesus as Savior. I've got to get born again. That's what I need, preacher, and I see it. Would you join these that just raise their hand, put your hand up real quick? Remember, if you reject this one, I wonder, will you ever truly get saved? I see that hand in the back there. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? Who else? God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. Sir, I see that hand. I see another hand. God bless you. I see another hand. Who else? Boy, there are a lot of hands that ought to be up right now. You know it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Another and another. Now listen to me. Those of you that have raised your hands and those of you that have not, we're about to have a thing called an altar call. And what that means is, in a moment we're going to stand. In a moment we're going to sing. When we begin to sing, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, walk toward the front. My soul winners and my altar workers, I need you and I'm going to need you quickly. Those of you that are used as soul winners, you've got to be ready to help me now. Listen, when we start this thing called the altar call, I want you to leave your seat. Some of you are in the balcony. You leave your seat, you come downstairs, you walk right back into this auditorium. We'll take a Bible and we'll very simply show you how you can be saved and you can leave this auditorium today sure that you're going to get on the plane and go to heaven someday. Not wondering about it, but for sure you can do it. We can get that settled once and for all. We can do it today, right now, in this auditorium. Some of you did not raise your hand. You watch. There'll be people coming. And when they start coming, you come with them. The men that are sitting on this platform and others will post themselves down front on the lower level. You walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. My pastor's wives, those of you that are my soul winners, again, I need your help. Here's how it's going to work. The pianist is going to begin to play right at this moment. I want everybody to stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, choir. Sing a song of invitation. If you're not saved, you raise your hand. You move. You just come forward. Walk up to one of the men. Hey, Brother Young, be careful. Some of those people need to get saved. They raise their hand right there on that row. Hey, Brother Ellswick, Brother John, the young man in the green shirt raised his hand for salvation just a moment ago. If you're not saved, I want you to come. If you're not saved, I want you to come. You walk up to one of these men and say, I want to be born again. I need soul winners now. Those of you that are soul winners that can help me, you be ready to help me because I think we're going to have a lot of people saved here today. Soul winners, make yourself available. Take care of the bottleneck over here. Let's go. You come. You leave the balcony and you come down here. Some of you soul winners may have to win a couple at a time or three at a time. Here comes some more. Here comes some more. Here comes some more. This is called getting saved. It's called realizing that you must be born again. If you're one of my part-time staff men or part-time staff ladies, and you're able to help me with soul winning, come help me now. I've got more of them than what I know to do with. Will you come? You come, walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be saved. Walk up to them and say, I want to be saved. Hey, if you've got a friend with you, if they're not saved, bring them. We'll do it. We'll help them. Folks, it's not time to talk unless you're a part of the altar call. This isn't a theater. We're not at the movies. This is church. Somebody's life is hanging in the balances. Some of you soul winners that are Sunday school teachers, if you come down and be ready to help me, I need help. I got people being saved here. I don't have enough to deal with. But what a sad thing. Those who shouldn't be leaving the auditorium unless it's an emergency. Church is still underway. I've got another soul winner over here. Brother Brown's ready to win souls. If you need a male soul winner, I've got Brother Crab. I've got Ms. Lopez ready. Okay, good. I've got soul winners. Keep singing, choir. If you're not saved and you're in that balcony, come on down. Let's take the Bible and show you how to be born again. You have a friend with you. They're not saved. You tell them, I'll go with you. I'll help you. We're not trying to embarrass you, folks. We're not playing church around here. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called heaven. The only way you're going to get into heaven is through trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You say, Lord, Lord. And you can say, Lord, Lord. But if you're not trusting Christ, you don't get to go to heaven. Will you come? Hey, you've been in the church for years. Are you saved? I'm not trying to embarrass you. I don't want you to doubt your salvation. That's why I started out with you. Once you get saved, you're always saved. Look, you gotta get saved. You come. You come. Come on. Come and get saved. It's getting saved time. Here come more. God bless you. 8, 10, 12 more. Amen. Come on. You say, but I'm an adult man. You come on. Adult men burn in hell just like a little boy. You come on. Choir, piano, let's work together here. Keep it on for me. Will you come? Will you come? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You say, but I go to church and I'm a decent person. I know, and I'm for all that. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just telling you. One of these days you're going to face God. He's going to say, I never knew you. You say, but I gave my money. Your money won't keep you out of heaven. He said, I was baptized. The water won't keep you out of hell. I'm going to say, I read my Bible. Bible reading won't keep you out of hell. It's trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Getting born again. Name takers, you're going to have to write very clearly so I can read it. Let's make sure the noise in the auditorium is not us.